بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 27th of December in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we've completed the third week the 21st night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the exalted chief of the blessed Al-Khazraj tribe, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that the two blessed Sa'ads radiyallahu have indirectly informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Banu Qurayza are on the verge of treachery. And then our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shortly thereafter made the famous dua, i.e. for the help of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next section is entitled The Critical Role of Sayyidina Na'im ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu. Thus, how now was our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala going to aid his beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 458 of the New English Translation, Hafiz Suhaili in his Ar-Rawd al-Unuf 3-433, Hafiz Ibn Qayyim in his Zad al-Ma'ad 3-240, Ibn Kathir Seerah volume 3 page 152 of the English translation, Ibn Ishaq, he said, Rahmatullah alayh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his men remained in that state of fear and difficulty until Sayyidina Na'im Ibn Mas'ud Ibn Amr Ibn Unayf Ibn Ta'laba Ibn Qunfud, Ibn Hilal, Ibn Khalawa, Ibn Ashya, Ibn Raith, Ibn Ghatafan, radiyallahu, went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have accepted Islam, but my people do not know of this. Hence now give me whatever orders you wish. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he smiled. I realizing the divine help had arrived, and he said, you are only one man, hence use trickery to relieve us of them if you can, for verily war is indeed deception. So let's look at this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the dua. You know that Allah ta'ala is now going to send his help. And how does he send his help? Look how amazed, one man. That man was from the allied forces from the outside, the Ghatafan tribe. That's why Ibn Ishaq gave the lineage, because eventually you get to the name of the tribe. So that man, his name is Na'im, Na'im Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu. And he came from the outside to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, I've embraced Islam, but nobody knows. Now give me whatever orders you wish. So question, did he embrace Islam because somebody had given him doubt? Did he embrace Islam because something was changing over in his heart over a period of time? Or did he just embrace Islam out of the blue? Whatever the case, whether it was miraculous or it was rational, the divine help had come. Why? Because nobody knew about his embracing Islam. And how did he know that he could help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? All these questions go through the mind. So when he came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you are one man. War is deception. Thus you can deceive. In other words, if you can cause disunity amongst the allies, I give you permission. Thus how was just one man going to turn the tide in favor of the believers? Sayyidina Na'im radiyallahu anhu went to work. He first went inside Al-Madinah to the treacherous Banu Qurayza, whose close associate he had been before Islam. So he knew them very well. He was one of the, you know, well-known businessmen, a well-known figure. And he always had good connections with the Banu Qurayza. So he went to them. He thereupon stirred them into asking the Quraysh and Ghatafan, his own tribe, to hand over to them some notables as hostages, so they would not leave them, either Banu Qurayza, to face the Muslims alone if they decided to retreat. So he went to the Banu Qurayza on the inside. He goes, look, if everything fails, because we will go back to our tribes and our families, because you're left to face the wrath of Muhammad. So my sincere advice to you, O Banu Qurayza, is that you get some notables from the Quraysh and the Ghatafan. Ask them to come, and for want of a better word, they won't be hostages, but that's your backup, your protection. Why? Because if you lose, they won't leave you because you've got their notables. They said, excellent advice. Then Sayyidina Na'im radiallahu anhu left the Banu Qurayza. He went outside the trench. He went to Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, the leader of the Quraysh. And he told him, the Banu Qurayza, they've once again aligned with the Muslims. And to prove their loyalty, they were going to hand over some of the notables of the Quraysh and Ghatafan to them. So he went to Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu and he goes, look, you might find it hard to believe, I know the Banu Qurayza, and I know now that they've once again backed the Muslims. And they're going to ask, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, soon they're going to ask you for some notables. And he goes, when you hand those notables over, they're going to give it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus he advised Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, if the Jews should send asking for some of your men as hostages, you should never agree to this and never hand over a single one. This is recorded in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 459 of the New English Translation. Hafiz Suhayri in his Ar-Rawd al-Unuf, 3-433. Hafiz Ibn Qayyim in his Zad al-Ma'ad, 3-240. Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 3, page 152 of the English Translation. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, the Jews told him this. Na'im told him this. He goes, never hand anybody over to the Jews. Sayyidina Na'im radiallahu anhu then reiterated the same to his own tribe, the Banu Ghatafan. So he went to his own tribe. He goes, the Jews have aligned with the Muslims. They're going to ask for hostages. Don't hand anything over to them. The damage was thus done. The Banu Qurayza sent envoys to both the Quraysh and the Ghatafan to hand over hostages as a gesture of goodwill. So they sent a message to the Quraysh and the Ghatafan. They goes, look, if all goes wrong, we want something. Some of you are meant to be with us so that we know that you won't leave us. The Quraysh and Ghatafan were shocked and now convinced that the Banu Qurayza had once again aligned themselves with the Muslims, just as Sayyidina Na'im had said. Because Na'im spoke the truth. Because they do they think we're that foolish? We're going to hand our men over so they can hand them over to the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened? In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 460 of the New English Translation, Hafiz Suhayri in his Ar-Rawd al-Unuf, 3-433. Hafiz Ibn Qayyim in his Zad al-Ma'ad, 3-240. Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 3, page 152 of the English Translation. Ibn Ishaq, rahmatullah alayhi, said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thus created dissension between the allies. And that night, he subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a fierce wind also against them, on an extremely cold winter's night, that overturned their cooking pots and vessels. So what happened? They've lost their trust, the allies. The very same night that these bombshells hit them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a fierce wind, and it was biting into them. So what happened due to this? The next section entitled, Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu sent to spy upon the allies. So now what's interesting is at this point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sends two spies. One on the outside to see what's happening with the allies, and the other on the inside to see what's happening with the Banu Qurayza. The one he sends to spy on the Banu Qurayza to bring news is his cousin, Sayyidina Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every prophet has a special disciple, a Hawari. And my Hawari is Zubair ibn al-Awwam. Aye, the title given to the very close companions of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet gave to Zubair. And he went on his mission and he brought the news that yes, they're about to, you know, attack from within. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam sent him to bring him news from the outside. So what happened? So this narration is recorded in Abu Dawud, Bayhaqi, volume 9, page 148. Bayhaqi in his Dila'il al-Nubu'ah 3-451-453. Hakim in his Mustadrak, Sahih Ibn Asakir in his Tariq, Dimishq 12-282. Al-Bidayah, volume 4, page 114. Kanzul Omal, volume 5, page 279. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 552-555. Of the New English Translation. Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, the nephew of Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiyallahu, relates that his uncle Hudhayfa had said, radiyallahu, we had never before experienced a night that was darker than that night, nor a night in which the wind blew more fiercely. Indeed, the wind was making sounds resembling thunder, and the darkness was so intense, we could not even see our fingers. So, Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu is on the inside, manning the trench, and he's describing that storm. So the storms are obviously both within and outside. And look how he's describing it. You know, it's not a normal storm to say the least, because it was extremely dark, because you couldn't even see your hand. Secondly, because the wind was making sound like thunder, even though there was no thunder. And that, because we were shaking, due to the cold. Then Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu said, the hypocrites started asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for permission to return home with the excuse that their houses were exposed to attack, where these there were really not. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted them permission, and they stealthily left, and we were left with approximately 300 men. So look how amazing. Even in that critical situation, there's munafiqs. So obviously, they thought, abandoned ship. So what they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, oh, Messenger of Allah, our houses, they're exposed to this. Do you give us permission to go back to see our family? And the Prophet gave them permission. And then Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu said, now there was only 300 men. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached each man until he came to me. I had no protection against the enemy, and all the protection I had against the cold was my wife's woolen shawl that barely covered my knees. I was squatting on my knees when he came to me and asked who I was. So Hudhayfa, after setting the scene, because the Prophet is going to every one of the men, why? To encourage them. So they won't lose, you know, their morale. When it comes to Hudhayfa, he goes, I couldn't even stand up. He's, I had a shawl barely covering my knees. And he asked, who is this? Maybe he had his armor on. When I informed him that I was Hudhayfa radiyallahu, he said, Hudhayfa radiyallahu. Reluctant to stand up, I shrunk lower down to the ground as I replied, Na'am, Ya Rasulullah. Yes, Hudhayfa, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look how interesting. The Prophet is asked, is it Hudhayfa? And normally they spring up, you know, for attention. But he goes, I cling to the ground. He goes, yes, it's me. It's Hudhayfa, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then he says, I finally managed to stand up, meaning I mustered my strength. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something has happened amongst the enemy. Thus I want you to bring me some information about them. Now what's interesting, he's clinging to the ground, he's suffering, the Sahaba are suffering. Rasulullah is walking normally. So the scholars, they highlight, they goes, why was he not affected? So one of the responses, he obviously was given the gifts, the strength of many men. Another clarification is, if he showed weakness, it would affect the morale of others. But you get this impression that he's not, he's, you know, there's no effect taking place, or Allah Ta'ala was protecting him from the cold. So then he asked, something has happened. I want somebody and I want you to bring me information about it. Then Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, although I was the most frightened at the time and I felt the coldest, I left, upon which Rasulullah made the following dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect him from the front, from the back, from the right, from the left, from above, and from beneath. Subhanallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he basically says, protect him from all directions. Do not let any harm come to him. Hudhayfa then said, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that after this supplication, every bit of fear and cold in me left, and I experienced nothing of it. Subhanallah. So what's happened? He had two problems. One is, what did he say? His own testification. I was the most frightened. Think about that. Sahaba. He goes, what's happening? Right? Because I was the most frightened and I was feeling the coldest. Both of those fears left him. Suddenly, imagine, 1 minute he's having, you know, so much anxiety, he's gone, completely gone. And secondly, he goes, where's the cold? As I left, Rasulullah then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Hudhayfa, radiyallahu, do not do anything amongst them until you return. Your mission is only to observe and report back. So that was the only command he gave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, just bring back the news, don't do anything. So he goes, I slipped into the enemy ranks. When I drew close to the enemy, the main army, I noticed the light of a fire that they had lit. So how did he slip into the enemy ranks? Well, first of all, you can't even see your hand. That's the testification of Hudhayfa himself, radiallahu. It's a storm. So even the ones who are keeping guard, they're going to struggle to see who's coming in and out. He gets through very easily. And he goes, I went towards where there was a fire lit. Now this is another report which has a detail. In Sharh al-Zarqani 2-120 and others, Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-31 states Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Bazar, Behaki in his Dalail Nubu'ah 3-449, Abu Nu'im in his Dalail Nubu'ah 2-500-1, Ibn Ishaq and Ibn Hisham in his Sirah 3-322 relates this very incident but does not mention the names of the two companions. So Hafiz Urqani, he added, rahmatullah alayh, since the lamps of the polytheists had been extinguished by the wind, it was intensely dark. And after Hudhayfa, he goes, after I had infiltrated their campsite, Abu Sufyan said, if sensing some danger, let each man amongst you take hold of the person who is sitting beside him and let him ascertain his identity. So what's happened? Hudhayfa is infiltrated, radiallahu. And Abu Sufyan, again, military genius, to say the least, radiallahu, he notices or he senses that maybe there's a spy amongst them. So he said, everyone grab the person next to you and ask, who is it? Without wasting an instant, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, I immediately took hold of the man who was sitting to my right and I asked, who are you? The man said, I am Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan. Then I got hold of the man to my left. Who are you? The man replied, Amr ibn al-As. Thus, subhanallah, due to his astuteness, the two noble men assumed that he was one of them. Thus, they didn't bother to ask him for his identity. Right? So now we're shocking. Who are these two men? One's the fox of the Arabs, and one is the master politician. He outdid them. Imagine, right? And he's in between them. So how dark must they have been? Who are you? He's Muawiyah, Abu Sufyan's son. Who are you? He's Amr ibn al-As, And they didn't bother asking him. They thought, oh, okay, he's one of us. That was interesting. Imam Hakim records this. Imam Zahabi said Sahih. And they mentioned the incident that Hudhayfa got hold of the two men. But it's only Hafiz Zurqani who mentions the names. So the incident definitely took place. But Hafiz Zurqani, through his chain of transmission, he goes, it's Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As. Then Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, I suddenly saw a large dark-skinned man warming his hands at the fire and rubbing them on his sides. And he was saying now in utter frustration and dejection, let us leave, let us leave. Because God damn the trench, God damn the storm, God damn the Jews, let us leave. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, I had not known Abu Sufyan before this. I thereupon immediately removed an arrow with a white feather from my quiver and placed it on my bow to fire at him in the light when, subhanallah, I remembered the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not do anything amongst them until you return. Your mission is only to observe and report back. I thus restrained myself and put the arrow back into the quiver. So this is again divine guidance. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He had willed guidance for Abu Sufyan radiallahu. At that point he would have died as an unbeliever. So this is why Rasulullah said to Hudhayfa when he went, look how interesting, he told him just bring, go and see what the situation is. But as he's walking, he goes, wait, only report back, nothing else. So something happened, revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if to say, look, protect Abu Sufyan. He didn't say that, but he's told him, don't do. And then Hudhayfa remembered, you know, so he goes, I could have easily have killed him, because he was a sitting duck. And this shows, if Allah Ta'ala wants guidance for the people, nothing can hold that guidance back. And if He does not want guidance for the people, they cannot receive guidance. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically two things. The critical role of Sayyidina Na'im ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu in how he caused disunity amongst the allies, i.e. the dua of the Prophet was answered through this man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now wants to know what's happening within and without and outside. He sends Zubair within radiyallahu and he sends Hudhayfa to the outside radiyallahu. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he gives a very detailed description of the scenario. Why? Because we can't really appreciate the hardships. But from his descriptions, we get a glimpse into how testing those times must have been. And in actual fact, at the beginning of the report, which I didn't mention, some people said to Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, if we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would not have let his feet touch the ground. Meaning we would have held him up on our shoulders. And the Prophet Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, would you really? Right? And this is, you know, something the Ashiks. Would you really? A lot of Ashiks about that, right? And then he mentioned this, as if to say, I couldn't even stand up. The Prophet's calling me. And he's basically giving them a mild rebuke. Don't say things like that. And in one report, he actually said, just be grateful you were born in Islam. Just be grateful for this. Why do you want to be in a time where that they were being tested so severely? And it's true. I would love to, you know, but you were, but Allah didn't choose you. You came 1,400 years later. So note again, you know, he was highlighting this. But of course, we have to say we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Sahaba's love was something else. And inshallah, I will continue this lengthy report tomorrow. Okay, still alive. Are there any questions you like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم